Credentialed veterinary technicians can be some of the most valuable members of a clinic team. Did you know there are many incredible opportunities for veterinary technicians to contribute to the success of a business and find fulfillment in your role? Welcome to Vet Talk with Royal Canin, where we will address an array of topics relevant to veterinarians and veterinary clinics. I'm Brenda Andreessen, Chief Strategy Officer at Stevens & Associates, and your host for this conversation. Joining me today are LVT Bree Morrow and RVT Kelsey Carpenter. So let's start, ladies, with a quick peek at your current roles and responsibilities. And Kelsey, let's start with you. You're a bit of a renaissance woman. You're a social media manager, a singer-songwriter, a content creator. Tell us a little bit about yourself, including how long you've been a credentialed veterinary technician and how you ended up where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really believe in linear paths. I think a lot of us don't in veterinary medicine. A lot of us took some interesting routes to get here. I have been in the field for about 10 years now and credentialed for about six. I started out actually in the arts, ended up somehow in veterinary medicine, and then eventually sort of decided to put them together because there really are no limits in veterinary medicine and anything goes a little bit. And I currently work full-time in practice and part-time as a social media manager and content creator for Dr. Andy Rourke. I also work at the Uncharted Veterinary Conferences, and I have my own Vet Tech Kelsey page as well. So I believe in a little bit of everything. It makes life a little more fun.
So Bree, it's interesting. Kelsey has such a crazy, insane background, but you have a really interesting background as well. Tell us about how long you've been a credentialed technician and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I completely echo Kelsey's point of view is that your career path doesn't have to be a straight and narrow highway. Definitely go off-roading, circle your roundabouts a few times if you need to. But I have been a credentialed technician since 2006. I dabbled in laboratory animal research, emergency and specialty, and then small animal medicine, and landed with Royal Canin 10 years ago, actually. Originally, I was a district manager in the Northeast, but currently today, I take more of a learning and development role with them doing nutrition communications. And through that process, was able to obtain my veterinary technician specialty in nutrition in 2018. So it's kind of been an interesting opportunity to engage with more technicians, kind of fuel some more passion around pet nutrition, bringing to the forefront that vital assessment for them.
So it's really interesting how you've each taken, let's use the Andy Rourke Uncharted, a slightly uncharted path to where you are right now, but you are both credentialed veterinary technicians. So let's start this conversation by really digging into the impact of veterinary technicians in practice today and talk a little bit about why you believe it's beneficial to encourage, and not only encourage, but utilize credentialed veterinary technicians to work at the very top of their license. So Bree, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think that veterinary technicians is basically your foundation of your practice. We are trained in so many responsibilities that I don't think are really known to our clients. But even some veterinarians don't quite understand the education and the practice that we get and how to leverage us to help them do what they do best as well. It's all about this work-life balance and to follow your passions. And if you can elevate and engage in your technicians in different areas, then veterinarians have more time to do what they do best too. What I really liked in practice that I worked at is I always asked my technicians, what are you passionate about? Or what do you want to invest more of your learning at? And some were hardcore loving parasitology. Others were more on anesthesia or dentistry, which is a technician's wheelhouse. And being able to allow those technicians to develop those leadership skills and own those, there's really nothing more beneficial to that. And again, being able to see more pets, serve more pets, which is what it's all about.
Now let's dig into that just a tad bit more here too. So Kelsey, obviously you're working at the top of your license as well. What do you think are the core benefits to the pet and the pet owner when they're getting in-depth care from someone like yourself?
Oh, huge. I mean, I could go on for hours on that topic alone, but we've got a lot of benefits there. So one is education. I mean, Bree kind of talked on that. She's really into education. utilize your veterinary technicians to help educate pet owners. The educated pet owner is the best pet owner and the pet owner who's going to follow through with the best veterinary care. So in that way, we're providing care through the pet owner. I think also there are studies out there about the rates of medical errors and how those decrease as the technician to patient ratio decreases as well. So utilizing your technicians and having technicians in practice help in that way. And then your technicians also are going above and beyond for pets. Veterinarians are as well, of course, everyone in the clinic is, but the technician is the one who's going to use those fear-free resources and handling skills to make your pet comfortable. The technician is the one who's going to be doing the hands-on, the blood draw, the injection, the nursing care. They're doing a lot of hands-on direct interaction with the patient and making that patient stay not only productive, but comfortable as well. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can utilize technicians not only to benefit the clinic, but also benefit pet owners, the pet owner relationship, and the patient's experience.
It's interesting too, you know, Bree, you can speak to this from the perspective of the fact that nutrition tends to be the number one topic that pet owners wish their veterinarians would talk with them about. So there's a great opportunity for technicians as well.
It's huge. I think that nutrition is a hard topic. Sometimes it is a topic of passion. What people choose to feed their pet, they're very passionate about, but it's also the biggest opportunity to fuel your pet for a healthy life, or to help with medical conditions. And so I think that being able to leverage this trusted resource as us as veterinary technicians, who your clients know, handle your pets, know them. I mean, I still talk to some of pet owners that I haven't seen physically in a practice for 10 years. And they still call me when Simon has an ear infection or something like that's going on. It's like, oh, I went there and he was such a good boy. Just want to let you know. And it's because of those practices and making them feel less fear, less anxiety, and trusting us. And I think that, if we are leveraging us as references to that pet health, especially in the area of nutrition, we can go so much further. And using us as, like, you know, technician appointments, I think Kelsey's practice uses them all the time, is that it's a service, and being able to, again, increase revenue, but also increase that opportunity to develop and fuel our inner energy as well, right? We all need to recharge somehow, and helping cats and dogs is an instant no-brainer recharge for us.
So there are emotional rewards for the veterinary technician, but also financial rewards that help build that bottom line for the practice as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Kelsey, I mean, any experience there that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Oh, absolutely. I know Bree and I have talked about this briefly, but there's definitely some bottom lines when it comes to veterinary technicians in practice. This is not just to benefit the technician and vet experience. This benefits the clinic in huge ways. I would say I'll reference there was a DVM 360 article, and it was from 2010, but I think it still applies to now. And they talked about how you should be aiming for 8 to 12 employees per vet, and that clinics were, in this survey that they did, in this research that they did, clinics were grossing $1.2 million per year in services per vet when employee-to-vet ratio was 12 to 1, and significantly less when that ratio dipped, when you had less employees per vet. Now, that included, you know, non-credentialed employees as well, but there's definitely studies out there that say the same thing about the ratio of veterinary technicians to veterinarians and how the clinic's gross revenue annually can significantly increase as you add technicians. I think there's a fear there about hiring more technicians, particularly credentialed technicians who are going to be paid at a higher rate than maybe non-credentialed technicians. But ultimately, you're making an investment in yourself as a clinic because you are going to end up grossing more. And that's because the less technicians you have, the more veterinarians end up doing technician skills, giving their own vaccines, placing their own IV catheters, et cetera. So veterinarians, when working as technicians, they're only making as much for the clinic as a technician does. That's not a good use of your money as a clinic. So if you can delegate those skills to a technician, not only can your veterinarian see more patients, those patients can get through your hospital quicker and more efficiently. And like I mentioned previously, you're providing better care as well, because you've got more eyes on that pet. You've got more hands, more people to look for help. So there are a lot of studies out there. I think Bree knows of one as well, that talks about how clinics can financially benefit in huge ways as they increase that ratio of credentialed technicians to veterinarians.
Bree, any comment on the additional study?
Makes my heart flutter with excitement for the opportunity. But yeah, so there was a study in 2018, but it was based out of Ontario, and they were looking at, you know, credentialed veterinary technicians. And they said, and what they found is that if you have an extra RVTs, what they call them in Ontario, but credentialed per vet, it increases their gross revenue $78,000.
That's a big amount.
It is. And then there's also, you know, studies that are coming out that say, you know, again, bringing in more credentialed veterinary technicians into your practice, that if you have like more than four patients in an emergency setting or critical care center, is that if you have more than four patients per technician, the care errors go up. But the importance is to having those credentialed technicians there to help, you know, just the overall patient standards, because it, you know, it's safety, revenue. I mean, these are all things that we're in this industry for.
That's a really good comment. I mean, it's very clear then that there's the financial benefit. So you bring up safety. I was going to ask you about that. If you've got more people doing the work and spreading the load, how does it impact the safety for the practice and for the pets that come into the practice?
Part of that same study also mentioned that technician experience also helped to decrease care errors as well, which is another point about why credentialed technicians are so important. That is not to, minimize the importance of non-credentialed veterinary assistants or hospital assistants, incredible backbones of our hospital as well. But just a point about patient care errors decrease as we have more technicians to care for them and technicians with more experience. And so that's significant. I mean, in many ways, when we talk about the medicine, the level of medicine, the patient experience, the client experience, but also again, if we want to talk about the benefits to the hospital, patient care errors are expensive to hospitals. That falls back on your clinic. So again, working in the clinic's best interest to have more technicians and in particular, more credentialed technicians.
So do you see then the increased use of credentialed veterinary technicians and having them work at the top of their license actually leading to a shortage of credentialed technicians available to veterinary practices?
I don't think that the utilization is really driving any type of a shortage. I think that what's happening is that utilizing technicians, veterinarians are seeing the benefits and wanting to bring more technicians into practice. And then lo and behold, you know, some veterinary technicians have left the industry. And I think that's the saddest thing is that I have peers that I've gone to school with that left the industry 5 to 8 years in due to lack of recognition, lack of development, lack of being utilized for what we went to school for. This is an occupation of passion. And when you are not encouraged to do what you can do best, it is disengaging. And so with that, I think that now that we are becoming more recognized, now that there's more attention to what we can do and our magical skill sets, is that all of a sudden now the attention is like, oh my goodness, where did all the technicians go? Before it was very competitive. When I graduated from school, I was in a line of 10 to 20, you know, veterinary technicians in New York State ready to interview and, you know, perform on the job and show my skill sets right then and there. And now it is every day, you know, hey, Brie, would you do this on this? You know, can you be a relief technician? And, you know, there's more and more. And I keep seeing my friends who own veterinary practices now, they're looking. And again, I think it's called attention to, hey, we want to use veterinary nurses or technicians. And now, you know, now we don't have as many because they've gone somewhere else or they've changed professions.
Are you seeing this same trend, Kelsey, among your peer group?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think it's interesting the point Bree made about how things have changed in the veterinary industry. 10 years ago, when I first got into veterinary medicine, I did so by walking down this long street in LA, and every vet clinic I came upon, I turned in my resume and I begged them to take me as a volunteer, an unpaid volunteer. That was the only way I got my foot in the door, because it was that competitive and I had no experience. These days, many clinics are sort of shifting their goals in terms of recruiting to try to recruit inexperienced people and train them from the ground up, because that's sort of what we're having to resort to doing because of the shortage of technicians. Now, where does that come from? I think many places, but I do think that not utilizing technicians to their full extent, not utilizing their high levels of education and knowledge and skill, is what leads to lack of fulfillment in a veterinary technician's career. And that is one thing that I think leads technicians to leave the field. There's many other things. There's pay issues in veterinary medicine, particularly for veterinary technicians. However, part of that study that Bree mentioned, the one from Ontario, actually found in that study that the more that clinics paid their RVTs, the higher the clinic's gross annual revenue was per vet. So that's an interesting point for clinics as well. So pay being another thing that drives veterinary technicians out, but I think burnout as well. And when we're talking about numbers of veterinary technicians and utilizing credentialed veterinary technicians, there was another abstract at the 2019 IVEX conference that found that they studied burnout, particularly in veterinary technicians. And they found that burnout was associated with numerous influences, one of which was patient to caregiver ratio. So again, finding that technicians are being asked to care for too many patients at once. Not only does that lead to errors in patient care, but it also leads to burnout in technicians. And the other one being technicians feeling that there was a lack of help, a lack of people to turn to when things got busy and they needed extra hands. And I think that's a great point too. And something that a lot of us are experiencing, particularly right now in veterinary medicine, where demand is higher than many of us have ever experienced, burnout and exhaustion are very prevalent, and that's because we don't have enough help. And so I think there's this sort of full circle thing that happens. You hire technicians, you pay them well, and you utilize them to their fullest extent. Not only does your clinic gross more annually so that you can do more as a clinic and be more successful, but your technicians feel fulfilled in their careers and they're happy, so they stay. And then lastly, the important thing that I think happens is I think veterinary technicians are your best recruiting tool for clinics. The best possible advertisement you could ever have is a happy technician, because we're a very close-knit group. It's a big community, but we're a tight-knit. And I think the best way to bring in new technicians is to make your current technicians happy so that they bring their friends in. And so there's this full circle thing that happens. Pay them well, utilize them to the fullest extent, make them happy and fulfilled in their careers, and they'll bring you more technicians so that we can continue that positive cycle.
So let's talk a little bit about solutions and opportunities here, and where they might look beyond the obvious. So each of you have obviously found your space, and you're continuing to explore more self-fulfillment and more satisfaction. So talk with us a little bit about, you know, what led to your current role, what you feel personally you've done that has expanded the opportunity for you beyond that, and how the people you've worked for have helped to encourage that along the way. So, you know, Bree, let's start with you. Tell us a little more about your story and what you've learned along the way.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, you know, I'll go to now and then reflect back like, oh, I wish I did that sooner, was trust your gut. And I think that was something that since joining Royal Canin, line managers that I have had have referred to, like, Bree, you've got this. Like, trust your gut, trust your education and your background. Like, the decisions, like those decisions that you immediately think of, trust them because they're right on. And I think that if I, as a veterinary technician, if I had a mentor when I had first started out who continually told me and challenged me to trust my gut and to trust my instincts, when making career decisions or making patient care decisions, that I would have found my grounding or my inner strength a lot faster than I did before. And it took a veterinary technician in an emergency practice when I was interviewing with her. And she said, how much would you like for salary? And I was like, oh, whatever you think is fair. And she's like, we're going to stop the interview right now. And she scolded me. She's like, don't you ever, she's like, state it. She's like, have that confidence, have that, you know, you are educated, you are credentialed, you have the power to make a difference in the veterinary practice, but also for your patients and your clients, and own it. And I think that from that point on, I absorbed her as a mentor. And she said, the next thing is, when you say you're what you want as your salary, also include, I want development opportunities. You know, whether that's continuing education dollars or whether that's you go to a conference, but it doesn't hit your time off, because your time off should be with your family and your self-care, not, you know, not necessarily to go in evolve yourself even further as a veterinary technician. And along the way, I have picked up great mentors outside of the veterinary industry. So those who I admire, their profession and their passion, just how do you keep fueled in a passionate career? But then outside of my wheelhouses, outside of my practices that I have worked in, just sucking up as networking and joining those conversations, to not, one, feel alone, but to find out where there's more opportunities or where I can leverage more strengths. And I think that those were the biggest things that when I talk to veterinary technicians that are in school now, that I encourage them, like, trust yourself, right? And go for it. And don't be afraid to ask for things, because when you ask for things, it's what's the worst they could say, right? No, but we're going to do this. Or they're going to shut, you know, or they're going to say yes. And then it's a huge win-win.
Good points. Good points. Kelsey, a little bit about your story and what you've learned along the way.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'll say is when I first started in veterinary medicine, and for quite some time, even into today, I've seen that there's this trend of martyrdom in veterinary medicine. People want to be martyrs in this weird way of they want to be the technician that stayed the latest or came in at the craziest hour or worked the hardest or is the most exhausted. That's true for all members of veterinary medicine. It's this weird trend, this competition to have it the hardest and do the most. And it's a really unhealthy competition. Now, luckily, I think because of many leaders in the veterinary industry, we've started to step away from that and focus more on mental health and work-life balance and things like that. And the reason I talk about that is because I even struggled with that a bit. I wanted to stay the latest, be the most helpful, be the person who came in on call. And so eventually, because I had done that, I did find myself experiencing a little bit of burnout. However, because I still had that competitive drive in me, I really hesitated to leave practice at all. The concept to me of stepping away from practice even one day a week seemed in my mind like weakness or failure in some way, that I couldn't work 40 hours a week on the floor, that I was tired. It made me feel like less than in some way. And I think that's something I've learned, is that that's absolutely not true. And if you feel that way, your brain is lying to you. Put it on timeout. I think stepping away from practice just one day a week was the best decision I ever made for my career in two ways. One, it let me rest a little bit. I was getting tired. And now more than ever, like we said, we're crazy busy. If you're finding that at the end of a 40 or 50 hour week, you're exhausted, that's normal. That's expected. If you're not exhausted, please call me. Tell me your secret, because I want to know it. So if you need to step away and work 30 hours a week, 35 hours a week for a while, do it. That's important. Take that time. And find something else that sparks your interest. Like Bree said, find something else that makes you passionate. If you've lost the passion in clinic, find it somewhere else. And that passion elsewhere will also help you to find your passion again in clinic as you find that balance of things. I was very fortunate. I again, this was my weird path, but it was actually for Veterinary Technician Week. I wrote a song because I didn't know what else to get my team. I was a lead technician at the time. I wanted to do something for my team, but you know, I didn't know what to get them. So I wrote them a song called Happy Tech Week. And that started my path into writing veterinary medicine music. And then eventually, through a chain of events, I got to meet Dr. Andy Rourke, which again was one of the best moments of my career. So when he invited me to be his social media manager, for a while, I tried it while also working 40 plus hours a week in the clinic. And eventually, again, I was tired. I couldn't do it. And that's when I finally made that decision to step away, take it down to 30 hours a week in clinic so that I could also do this second part-time job of social media management and content creation. Again, best decision I ever made for my career. It allowed me to use different parts of my brain so that science and math brain wasn't getting completely exhausted all week. And it allowed me to find fun and energy and passion and excitement and newness in veterinary medicine again, which did carry over into my clinic self. I was happier at work in the clinic because I had found something else to work with. It also opened up my world. In clinic is one part of being a technician. Sometimes you don't realize how big the veterinary medicine world is out there. There are so many opportunities for us. And that's not to encourage anyone to leave the clinic. Those are incredible technicians and they're so important. But sometimes doing both, creates this new balance for you that I think really can enhance your clinic work in a way by stepping away to do something else at the same time.
So you each have found opportunities outside traditional veterinary practice while still having some work within traditional veterinary practice. So I think to help make things really clear for some of the people who haven't had the interesting pathways that you have, I mean, beyond working in practice, how would you define, you know, three or four other opportunities that are out there that credentialed technicians could take a look at or could pursue? Bree, talk a little bit about what you found along your way and, you know, what maybe even Royal Canin has exposed you to.
Yeah. So, you know, working in practice, and maybe it's a huge shame on me. I met with our sales reps and our, you know, drug companies, and I had no idea that the majority of them were actually veterinary technicians. And it took a veterinary technician to say, hey, are you looking for that next step? Like, you've really grabbed on to nutrition and this, I can see this is your passion. Have you ever thought about them? Like, oh no, that can't be. Like, the fear of leaving scrubs and having to wear real clothes was a real thing. And so being able, you know, like, yes, there is like the veterinary, you know, sales industry for different companies. There's the research end of, you know, looking into and monitoring studies for pets' well-being. And then there's the specialty side. And I can't, I think that this was something I had no clue there was even a specialty until I was at VMX in 2017. And I was really paying attention to the speakers and what their credentials were. And I was doing a couple of the tech tracks and I started seeing like VTS, you know, cardiology, VTS, oncology, VTS, nutrition. I'm like, whoa, what is this? And tell me more. And it was incredible as far as, and it was right on par for where I was happiest looking at practices where your technicians, you had technician teams, a dentistry team, a surgical team, a client education team. And I'm like, wow, like you could really specialize in something and raise that caliber of that skill set for you, but also for your patient care. And I was completely fascinated. And now when I talk to veterinary technicians that graduate from school, and then some tenured technicians, like, and they're like, oh, we really love oncology. I'm like, did you know there's a VTS in oncology? What? I'm like, yeah, you would be like a triple threat, right? Like, you're passionate about it, you're a credentialed technician, and you can become, you know, get your VTS in this. Like, this is an outstanding opportunity. And then there's always like the education aspect of it. If you're really passionate about, you know, educating others, maybe it's students, maybe it's clients, there's marketing, there's, you know, colleges, there's even high school trade schools that are looking for, you know, teaching our assistants, you know, how to perform the best that they can. It's not just, you know, in one practice. And I always encourage technicians, try it all. Try laboratory, try large animal, try zoo, try exotics, you know, because it's amazing what you learn along the way. Emergency medicine, I realized really quickly, I missed the follow-up. You know, you would work so hard to save somebody and you would sleep in the cage with them. And, you know, you were up all night monitoring them. And then they get discharged when you go, when you're home, right? And you're recouping from that long shift and you're like, oh, I wonder how they're doing. And I missed that connection. So I realized that I wanted to make certain that I found a practice where there was always that where connection to their clients were, not that it's not important in emergency, but it's even stronger in small animal medicine. So that's where, you know, you find your deal breakers and you find what you're really passionate about.
That's a really rich list and some, you know, I think really good insight, Bree, for you to share with the listeners here. And Kelsey, I'm sure you can add to that list and add to that insight with your own experience.
Yeah. You know, thinking about the opportunities for veterinary technicians, not only have Bree and I experienced that, but I think of many of my own friends that I've worked with. A friend of mine, Michelle Chiesa, she eventually left practice and now does claims for a pet insurance company, and she loves it. And because she spent so many years in practice dealing with medical records, she is fast, girl. She caught on quick because she had that hands-on clinical knowledge to apply to this new job. I think of Steven Sattal. Many people know that name. He's incredible in the world of veterinary medicine. I believe he's in research and laboratory now, which is also an incredible opportunity for veterinary technicians. I think of my friend Amber LaRocque. She not only works as a relief technician in clinic, but also writes. She's a writer as a veterinary technician for multiple veterinary blogs and publications. And she uses that job to fund her travels around the world and work with different, you know, spay and neuter missions and things in all these different countries. You know, I think of my friend Tyler Grogan that I actually work with through Dr. Andy Rourke and the Uncharted Veterinary Conference. She now does social media management and content creation. She's the social media manager for Uncharted Vet. And she still works in practice, still full-time, but still has this second job as well that fulfills her in this different creative way. You know, the list goes on. I could list people for days, I think, that have all of these really interesting career paths, many of which still have one foot in the door of the veterinary practice, either through relief, part-time shifts, or even full-time, but also have this other career or have switched over fully to this second career. I think we need to not only make those paths more known, more accessible, more talked about so people know they exist, but also celebrated, to know that the person doing those insurance claims is just as important as the person who is doing the treatments that end up on that insurance claim. This is all part of a bigger picture, you know, getting pets care. The person doing research is going to ultimately create those drugs and procedures and things that you use in the clinic. I think it's all part of a bigger picture of getting pets the best possible care. And there are so many ways you can be part of that in a bigger way if the clinic is no longer the place for you or if you want to add to your current career.
So this has really been a motherload of information, I think, for anybody listening to this podcast. And, you know, I think we all want to be clear that we're not trying to encourage anybody to leave veterinary practice, but more so to find your passion and find your opportunities. And each of you have given a huge list of a phenomenal advice for anybody listening, from find a mentor to asking for what you want and what you believe you're worth, opening your mind to possibilities, you know, trusting your gut. You know, there are all kinds of really phenomenal pieces of advice you've given throughout these past few minutes. So as we come to a close, is there any one last thing, one last piece of advice you would have for current or future technicians, no matter where they end up deciding they belong, to help them find the most success and enjoyment out of the role that they're in? Bree, let's start with you.
Whew, that's a tall order. I think the biggest, my biggest piece of advice right now is to join your local state veterinary technician association. Now more than ever, with the technician shortage, with what's going on in our kind of industry and how we're so needed, more than ever, we need to have that strength in numbers and really kind of support one another and kind of network and connect. Because the more we can network and the more we connect, the better we are for it. And as a disclaimer, right now, there isn't standardization with veterinary technicians across all the states for either our titles or what we're allowed to do in one state versus another. So make certain you know what your state's limitations or what the opportunities are. If you're thinking about moving or whatnot, be aware, because sometimes that's something, if I'm in one state, I'm like, oh, I can't, I have to make certain that I operate within the scope of that state's licensure. But really joining that state association so that you can support each other, but also be more familiar with those opportunities. I don't think I lived very sheltered the first couple years as a veterinary technician and not understanding that there was that network, and it's very supportive, and it opened my eyes to what opportunities were there for me.
But being connected and informed, just so smart. That is such smart advice. Kelsey, last thoughts from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I second everything Bree just said. Absolutely fantastic points. I also think that many of us ended up here in veterinary medicine because we love it, because it's our passion. And for many of us, I think we find that it's our calling. This is our heart's work. If you're no longer happy in veterinary medicine, there are opportunities out there for you. Maybe it's going to a different clinic that does utilize their technicians to the fullest extent so that you can feel fulfilled in your role in the clinic again. Maybe it's trying something new, asking to be the social media manager for your clinic, doing something that allows your brain to explore different lobes than just the veterinary medicine region. Or maybe it's leaving practice altogether to do something else that's wonderful and contributes to the world of veterinary medicine in an also wonderful way. So don't give up. Explore a little. Take some chances. Now is the time to take those chances. Veterinary technicians are in the highest demand that I think they've ever been. The clinic will still be there for you. If you try something and you don't like it, they'll still be there. It's not an encouragement to leave the clinic. This is encouragement to find that place in the clinic or that place within the veterinary medicine industry that makes you happy. Don't give up. Take some chances. Keep trying until you find the perfect fit for you.
This has been seriously such an incredibly rich conversation. People are going to need to listen to this podcast. Actually, people are going to want to listen to this podcast multiple times to gather all the really great nuggets that the two of you shared today. And I want to say thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Brenda. This has been a blast. And thank you, Bree. It's been wonderful to hear from you too.
Yes, thank you both. This is exciting, and I hope it re-energizes and inspires some.